Hey, you listen to this podcast. Go to myplayvolution.com, click the Amazon icon, bookmark that page, and use it every time you shop on Amazon. It's a way for you to support the show without costing you anything. And it's a win-win-win. Amazon wins because you buy their stuff, and you win because you get stuff. And we win because we get a few pennies per purchase. Win-win-win. What could be better? Come on, do it. Please? Explorations Early Learning has been producing low-tech, high-think toys for years. Check out our yummy wooden delights at explorationsearlylearning.com under the Shop tab. And think about joining the Toy of the Month Club. For a reasonable monthly fee, we ship you a sweet, sweet box of play. Welcome to another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. I'm Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studios. Happy New Year! Lisa Murphy, how you doing?
Woo-hoo!
All right, a little peek behind the curtain. Happy birthday, new calendar. It's not really New Year's yet. We're just
Love new calendars.
New calendar. You still like, oh yeah, you're like, you use real like paper calendars, don't you?
I do, and do you want to know a story?
Yes.
So I bought my two. Look, I don't even let them, dear listeners. I don't even let them respond. I just tell the story. You want to hear a story? Of course you do. So I bought my 2016 like planner because that's what I do, and I bought it like a year ago because I started booking gigs in 2016. Anyway, so like most people, I get paid. My paycheck from my company comes every 2 weeks, right? So I make a note in green because green is the money color, and I just do a highlight on the Fridays, just so I know when I'm on the road, if a quick eye at a glance, like when the paycheck's going to hit, because it's all out of deposit, whatever, that doesn't matter at all. The point is that when I bought, now take a breath, I know somebody listening is going to have a panic attack when I say this. When I turned to the 2016 one and started to then update when the paydays were, I missed one. So my entire 2016 planner is off by those 2 weeks. So the 2 weeks that are colored green, or like the Fridays that are colored green to be the payday Friday, are off. And I was like, oh crap. When I realized this, I was like, oh my God, the Fridays are wrong. Now most people would maybe, I don't know, get some whiteout or put some sticker on it, or I bought a new planner.
Why didn't you just call your bookkeeper and have your payday changed?
Wow, I didn't actually think that was an option.
That's what I would have done. Of course you bought a new
I have already highlighted all of the every other Fridays in my planner to coincide with the mistake that I made. So can you please adjust when everybody on the team gets paid? Because I'm a dork.
Well, that would seem to save you the most work. That's what I would have done. No, of course you went and
so
bought
you might
a new
say I was Yeah, of course I bought a new
Of course.
Planner, and then I was telling somebody about it, and it was hilarious. And they were like, well, can you redo it? Can you do that? And I'm like, no, dude, I put the green on every other Friday for the whole year. And they're like, oh, God, I would have bought a new planner. And I'm like, I did. Nobody listening cares.
Most of the people listening would be thinking, "What's a paper planner?" Because our listening audience skews kind of young, and see, I would have just went. I would have clicked edit and then went and that's. But you're so old school. That's awesome.
I am.
So why do you like new calendars so much? Is it the pictures of the puppies and the kitties, or what is it? Is it just because it's new?
I don't buy calendars like that. I call it my planner, right? And I don't even know. It probably has a brand name. I go to Staples and buy it. It's by the month. So it's a two-page, kind of 8.5 by 11 on each side. So when you open it up, it's like, you know, two pieces of paper. And it's the calendar of the month. And that's how I keep track of gigs, of inquiries, of travel. I mean, it's the master calendar. I mean, I have a digital camera. It's on my iPad. It's on my iPhone. I've got it all there, too. It's cross-referenced. I like the calendar touch it. I've got it, you know, highlighted. There's a certain code for the colors. OCD much.
So if green on Fridays is payday, is a light brown color on Saturdays going to buy fresh whiskey day? Does that follow?
I wish I was having whiskey on Saturdays. I do a gig every Saturday. Yeah. And the green is only on the number, right?
So, oh, yeah, of course.
So the box, so like if it's the 22nd, let's just say the 22nd is that Friday that gets paid. So the 22 is highlighted in the green. But then if it was a gig day the next day, then the box would actually be highlighted. And that means that they've paid their deposit and that the what we would say is a good gig.
And I've seen this calendar, and all the writing is in this chicken scratch that no other human can decipher in case your planner ever falls into the wrong hands. If somebody that wants to sabotage your gigs, they won't be able to do that because they won't be able to decipher it.
Well, because horrible writing is a sign of intelligence, right?
Yeah,
I read that somewhere.
I believe that's true. Because I can't read my writing either. All right. So now
your writing is atrocious.
I know, it's horrible. Now that we've had this scintillating calendar talk, I got a little bit of a topic for us. So I'm on the Facebook the other day. And there was an article that was reposted by a couple of people and or organizations talking about the United States, the only place in the world where a child at the age of 3 or 4 can be a year behind or something like that. And it's talking about how low-income kids are – quote unquote, behind at the age of 4. And
behind in compared to what?
Unclear. This is getting reposted by people that seem to be pushing an agenda that involves more money being spent on early learning. And I'm assuming behind meaning kindergarten ready, which we've agreed many times on this podcast is a day on a calendar. Kindergarten ready means you have a birthday or don't have a birthday by a particular date. I've found out some other places too. And so part of this pissed me off because there's this fear factor that so many of these kind of articles push. We want everybody to think everybody's failing so we can throw money at the problem and that kind of annoys me. Part of it is the fact that we don't know behind because everybody developed. I mean, there are windows of development, and just because you're 3 and don't know something that another 3-year-old knows doesn't mean you're behind. It means you're just not where that other kid is.
This kind of circles back to the episode we recorded a couple weeks ago where I was talking about how we have kind of stopped believing in what we know to be that like developmental trajectory.
Absolutely.
Like we've lost faith in it. And I think because we've lost faith in it, that's why articles like this end up getting published and written and people get all bent out of shape about it. And that's why I said to you my question, not because I'm trying to put you on the spot, because you know that about me. It's more of that this is the question I would be responding. Behind in compared to what? What are you using? How are we coming up with behind? What does behind mean? Not your hiney, not your bum, but, you know, this kid is behind. Behind whom? The kid who lives in a different zip code where mama has a degree and there's food on the table and the lights come on and the heat come on. You know, like behind in regard to what? What are the variables that are being factored into this statement? And I think when people like us push back a little bit, it makes other people a little bit nervous. And I think our profession needs to become a little bit more comfortable with making other people nervous and becoming a little bit more comfortable with saying things like behind as in compared to what exactly, and then waiting for a response. And that I think is going to be my focus for, you know, how every year for the new year we come up with something, and you know, last, you know, with, you know, the advocacy through action, and then it was the what page is it on. Now it's going to be like that pregnant pause of waiting actually for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Behind as in compared to what? Okay, so you're not really sure, but you're now holding the entire school district accountable to something that you right now can't define. Okay, so first, do no harm. So until we know that your decision is not actually harming anybody, we're going to do what we call best practice, which is developmentally appropriate, and this is what the early childhood specialists are going to be expected to do until you can actually answer that question. So until you can do that, we are going to proceed over here. My concern with even that as a strategy is that over here, while we're saying, now go do best practice, there are some teachers who are new enough to where they don't, they've been given that script, so to speak. So now they're finally awarded an opportunity to go teach. And then they're looking and going, well, what do I actually need to be doing? So, it's, why are you laughing?
Oh, because it's so fucked up, Lisa Murphy.
I know, but that's why we talk about it. Because maybe, perhaps, through one of these conversations, we can start unpacking it. I love that phrase of yours, by the way. That's like Jeff. That's my one of my favorite Jeff Johnson hashtags is unpack it, because you have to.
We got to take it
right?
apart.
This
see
is,
what's
this
in there.
Is what this is. You got to take it apart. So what's inside of that? Are they really behind? Okay, so what are we calling behind? All right, okay, so if we can establish a criteria of what we're calling behind, but if it's accepted scientifically, medically, psychologically, that this is what a three-year-old should, could, would be possibly perhaps doing, that's a big trajectory, not a trajectory, it's a big, like a timeline, like a big, you know, 2 years up, 2 years down. I mean, we use that a lot, perhaps going on
yeah.
with that. So what are you actually behind? Because it would be developmentally appropriate for a 3 or a 4 year old to be doing X, Y, Z, and A, B, C. And it would be appropriate for a 3 year old to be doing stuff 2 years beyond that and 2 years under that, right? So what are we calling behind?
Yeah.
Sorry. I don't know why. This all of a sudden is really pissing me off.
Yeah. Well, there.
I didn't even know this topic made me mad
until you were
3 minutes
mad.
Ago.
Well, and I've seen it. I've seen it at gigs. I've had people. Well, Jeff, we want you to talk about this because we did a community needs assessment, and we found out that our low income kids are behind that kind of stuff. It happens way too much that we just throw that idea out there, and like you say, there's that big wide open window. Developmentally, where I mean, we talked about grandbaby in writing a couple weeks ago, and she's gotten interested in letters. She's 3 and a half. There are kids that aren't going to be interested in letters until they're 5 and a half, or even some kids maybe not even until later than that. And that doesn't mean that they're behind. It means they're just not developmentally there yet. And when we start putting them in a pressure cooker and pushing, trying to get them to catch up, what we tend to do is make a bigger mess of it, because we add stress and anxiety, and not only for those children, but for their parents, and we make it into a big, hairy, scary thing, and then the learning is more difficult than if we take that breath and focus on, like we talked about last week, focus on experiences and human-to-human interactions.
I agree.
Well, we've solved that. Now we can move on.
I'm sitting here on my counter, and the only reason I'm on the counter is because, you know, we recorded, and now my phone's dead.
You gotta be close to an outlet.
It's hard, usually when I'm in one spot, so I find that's why it's like, now what is Lisa going to say? I don't know. She's in one spot. She hasn't moved for 5 minutes.
Moved.
So, you know, you're going to have to
She can't think. She's sitting still.
Pause state. But I usually walk around when we record on the phone, and, you know, I've been having to sit here, and I'm listening to this, and I'm stuck on, not stuck in a bad way, but uh-huh. It's, once again, we're coming, it's verbiage. And because our profession often just lacks the chutzpah to actually say, what do you mean by that? And I don't know, maybe I'm oversimplifying it. I mean, but what would happen if starting, you know, it's a new year. What if everybody in the field of early childhood education made a commitment, and I'm pulling this out of my ass right now. Please do not think in any way, manner, super important, this has actually been thought about prior. But what if everybody this year, whenever anybody used buzzwords, they went, hold on a second. Like, unless a kid was going to get hit by a bus. But like, if somebody just in conversation was like, oh, I need readiness, and that one here, and a bit behind, what if you just said, I'm sorry, give me a picture of what you mean by that. Paint me a picture. What do you mean by that? Behind what? Behind what? An elephant? Behind somebody? Who are they behind? And what do you mean by behind? And I don't, just as I thought that the binder challenge was something very simple that could potentially have a big, huge ripple effect, and based on the feedback that I'm getting from the binder challenge, that is actually happening. And for what it's worth, as somebody who doesn't have children of their own, I'm really actually starting to think the binder challenge is going to be my legacy. It's going to be all of these binders. But what I'm saying is that sometimes something very small really can have a really big impact if everybody understands why, and I'll own this, why Lisa Murphy threw that rock out in the first place wasn't because I wanted to be the boss of the rock. Was because in my mind's eye, I could see that if I'm doing this, and then you started doing it, and then you did it, and then you listened to the podcast, and then you started doing it, and if all of a sudden, all of these amazingly underpaid, overworked, passionate, loving people started saying, I'm wondering what you meant by that, we might not be the ones who actually changed the ink and the phrase and the verbiage of the laws and the rules and the handbooks, but we might now finally have the ear of the person who does.
Maybe
that's what I'm going to focus on in 2016. What would have to happen for you to be willing to say, what do you mean by that?
I think the response to that question in many situations is going to be crickets.
Well, then maybe that's the issue that we then start focusing
on. Oh, I agree.
As a midstream adjustment. If the midstream adjustment would be is that a bunch of people start asking that and the response is crickets, 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 then we go, perhaps this is something that we need to continue a conversation about.
Yeah, I'm guessing crickets, I'm guessing buzzwords, and I'm guessing I'll get back to you, and then more crickets.
Okay, and fine. And if somebody ever tells you, I'll get back to you on it, and they don't, you have the professional right and responsibility to check in with them. Hey, you said you were going to get back to me on this. Haven't heard from you in about a week. I know we're all really busy wondering when I'm going to be able to get on your schedule.
Now,
at this point, and because I'm a documentation junkie, of course, if this is something that I'm starting, right, I'm writing this down. So in my planner, you know, the paper planner, it would say, approach, you know, whoever, Jeff Johnson, approach Jeff Johnson to inquire about follow up. You know, and I have shorthand, so it would be actually F/U. And it doesn't mean like F-U, it means follow-up. Like internally, dude, no, seriously, as a total sidebar, a little comic relief here right now, whenever I hire a new staff, one of the things that we actually give them is an abbreviation of Lisa Murphy's shorthand. Because if you get a text from me or an email from me with any of this, if you're not schooled and briefed on this, you'll be like, she is a bitch. And it's like, no, F-U does not mean F-U. It means follow up, right? So you have to school your people on it because they don't automatically know. Anyway, but that's what would have to happen. You know, you document it. So then if after 6 months, you now have a paper trail. Hey, on this day, this is what was said. And then on this day inquired, and then this day inquired, and this day. And so, it, you know, let's have a conversation about this because it sounds as though this isn't something either of interest to you or it's not a priority or you're really not sure what to say, but you said you were going to get back to me on it and it's been 6 months and these are the dates I checked in with you and you haven't. So I would really like to have a conversation about that. You know, and then at that point, then you start following whatever your chain of command is, right? And I'm not looking for people like, well, and maybe I am. Maybe I'm lying. Maybe I am looking for people to cause a little bit of a ruckus and a little bit of a coup d'etat and a little bit of a revolution. You know, and I know that in the big grand scheme of things, there's other issues going on in the world. I also know that if you're complaining all the time about something, and if something is firing you up that much that you have that emotional response whenever that topic comes up, but you're not doing anything about it, you need to reconcile that discrepancy.
Yeah, because nothing gets done unless we start doing it.
Exactly. So either it's not that big of a problem, or you don't really care that much, or perhaps maybe you just don't know really what to do. And also, so then you check in with somebody. Hey, I'm having this. Let's talk about this. What do you think the next step might be in response to this? Awesome. Now the wheel starts to turn and it might turn really slow and you might need to give it some oil and you might need to prime it and it might fall back and you might have to take it apart. But there's motion and there's movement. And that is what I would really like to see happen in 2016 with our profession. But we're not going to be able to make changes if we are not able to identify that which needs to be changed. And it's going to look a little bit different in every community, in every town, in everybody who's listening. You know, what needs to happen is going to be different. And there might be some overarching global similarities of issues that are the same. But there's going to be one thing specific to where you work or where you live or your school district that needs to be tweaked that's individual to you. So if you're claiming that it's an issue, so what is your goal this year? I mean, it's a new year, right? So what's that first baby step? That Luke Skywalker, right? We'll circle back to the Star Wars. You take that first step into that larger world. And it's hard to go back, but that's what being an advocate is taking that first step and being the one that's willing to step out and perhaps getting your hand chopped off. But you know why you stepped out there. And I think that's awesome.
Oh my gosh. I hope nobody gets their hand chopped off. That would be horrible. We don't have robots.
Oh, but think of what that would be awesome, podding.
Oh yeah. I mean it would be a great interview. It'd be great for us if somebody started asking questions and ended up getting their hand chopped off. I mean, we'd interview them. We'd have lots of listeners to that episode. But that poor person without the hand, because we don't have droids that do hand surgery the way they do in Star Wars universe. It would be horrible for them.
Oh, stop! You could make one in your workshop.
Oh yeah, but it would be wooden, and it wouldn't. I mean, it would be horrible.
It would be old school.
I mean, it would be a great story to tell at cocktail parties. And
could you imagine that you got somebody so riled up that they took out their lightsaber and chopped off your hand?
Yeah.
I mean, it would be like the new Moses. It would be the Moses of early childhood.
I mean, because first that person would have to go invent a lightsaber and then come back and they'd have to do it quick while you were still sitting there. I mean, if you get somebody, if you ask a few questions, get somebody that riled up, you're a freaking badass. So if that really happens.
You are a badass.
And Stephanie, I'm talking about you, Heather, Keisha, Tiffany, Jen, some of you that I know are listening to this episode, I expect it'll be one of you. That this happens to. So please, if you get your hand chopped off by speaking up, send us some pictures by all means. And we'll set up an interview time so we can hear your story. Yeah.
Wait, did you say that lightsabers aren't real?
I did because science.
Science. I'm going to fall off my calendar. Go.
Fall off your calendar. It'll be
oh my God, that was awesome.
Oh, that'd be horrible. I think one of the other things about when we start asking those questions is when we do get answers, some of them might be uncomfortable and the solutions might not be easy. I mean, when we start talking about the article we that drew us into this conversation was talking about children from low income families. Now, here's some of the realities from my understanding of this, and please message me if I'm wrong. A large proportion of low income families are single parent families, and that has an impact because now I'm not saying that children can't grow up in single parent families and be happy and healthy and successful and thrive. What I am saying is that there's some research that shows that that might be a little bit more of a challenge than a child growing up in a two parent family. And how do we fix that? We might not fix that with more preschool money. We might fix that with a better jobs market. And so some of these things, the answers aren't as clear and simple as we'd like them to be. I know a lot of young single moms out there that are incredible parents, but it's a lot more challenging on one income raising a family than it is on two incomes. And so those kind of things become the issues we're dealing with. And that ends up being, I mean, you ask a question and you get an answer and then you got to deal with the answer. And that opens up another can of, I don't know how I got to cans of worms from lightsabers, but you start going down, more worms. You start going down this rabbit hole or wormhole and you never know where you're going to end up when you start asking that question. What do you mean by that?
And I think I've mentioned this before that I had two major takeaways when I got my master's, which I realize now is 2 years ago. And one of them, and this is not a systems theory statement of like advocacy or support for that. It's more of just the systems, the acknowledgement that those kids show up with so much more than just their own selves, which is why I've said in numerous podcasts that like you can't just be okay with being good with kids because they come with so much more. It's a socioeconomic issue. It's a health issue. It's a where do I live issue. It's a safety issue. And that's why I think Maslow, I mean, all of the talk about systems and theories and all of that and the social services component, the psych component, I get that. To me, the simplest way to remind everybody is Maslow's triangle, right? The hierarchy of needs. And so the top of that triangle, which Maslow calls the self-actualization, I call that good program, a developmentally appropriate, solid, strong, awesome staff, awesome curriculum. And with all due respect, doesn't mean a hill of beans if the kids show up hungry, if the kids show up scared, if daddy got arrested last night, if the car broke down on the way, if there's no gas, if there was no food. And I'm not playing like the bleeding heart liberal. I'm not. I'm acknowledging that some of what we claim to be important doesn't mean shit if they're hungry, tired, and do not know who is going to pick them up at the end of the day. And as people in this profession, not even as professionals and not even as, you know, psychologists or teachers, just as people hanging out with kids, to not acknowledge that or to turn a blind eye to that in the name of readiness is, to me, is really kind of rapidly approaching an ethical issue. And that is why I think with confidence, I am able to say things to an audience like, the next time somebody comes in and tells you, why is that kid sleeping? It's not nap time. You stand up and you say, she's tired. And wouldn't it be awesome, professor, sir, whoever you are that's coming in the room, wouldn't it be awesome if we were all able to still just honor our bodies, you know, impulses like that. And we're adults. We get it. You know, there's a time and a place. We get that because, you know, we're 40. She's two and she's tired because she was up all night for whatever reason. Right. And I want to be cautious that I don't want to always play what we might call that, you know, socioeconomic card, because there's other reasons why other kids might be up too late.
Oh yeah.
Because, you know, right. And I know, you know, that I'm mostly just explaining for the folks who are listening.
Yeah.
You know, some kids might not have gotten a lot of sleep because there might have been some, you know, I don't know, you know, the heat's not on, it's freaking cold. And other kids are up listening to their, you know, million-dollar parents argue and fight all night, you know, for whatever reason, right? So it's not always just one I don't want to say anything that I shouldn't say. Not shouldn't say, but you know what I'm saying. I don't want to sound like we're lock and loading on one particular demographic because you know, some of the most unstable emotionally children that I've ever worked with were from the higher socioeconomic.
Can I just say that families are fucked up across the socioeconomic spectrum?
Thank you. You know what? And yes, exactly. What Jeff just said, times two. It's true. So I get really when people play that card of like it's just certain kids that are behind. Because there's a lot of kids. If you're going to say that kids are behind or kids are meeting, I don't even think it's a behind. I think that if you look at them as, you know, like a pie, I like the idea of a pie chart. Everybody's got a piece of the pie that could use some bolstering. And I can say this confidently because I'm an adult who thinks that my pie, right? There are certain areas of Lisa Murphy's pie that occasionally need some bolstering. And, you know, we can say that specifically for another time. But I'm just acknowledging that if anybody comes to the table thinking that their entire pie is like, damn, I got some nice sweet-ass pie, you'd be like, you're a liar. Because there's some piece of that pie that is not as whatever as it should be. So anyway, so there's my long-winded clarification of that. Wow. All of a sudden, I just got really sad. Not even sad. I think that it is so easily fixable. And I start to wonder, what am I, honestly, like full disclosure, what am I, Lisa Murphy, not seeing? What am I not seeing? Because to me, so much of the stuff that we whine about is fixable. And not that it's a problem that needs fixing. It's just like, it's going to be fine. It'll be fine. You know, so what needs to happen here? What needs to happen for this group of kids? What needs to happen for this group of parents? What needs to happen for this? It's a big, broader system than I think a lot of us were trained to realize. We thought we were signing up for, you know, childcare and, you know, some awesome Play-Doh and some art activities and some singing of some songs. And it's a lot deeper than that, a lot deeper. And I think it behooves us to actually maybe stretch ourselves out of our comfort zone and realize, well, what is this person needing from me? You know, what is, okay, so I'm going to say one thing and then I'll shut up because I realize this has been like the Lisa Murphy 20-minute conversation and I apologize for that. I don't really apologize for it, but I just, you know, usually it's a little more even keeled with the amount we're talking. Before I graduated from my undergrad, back in the old days, we had Rolodexes. Do you remember these? Do you remember these Rolodexes?
Yep.
Jeff doesn't even remember a Rolodex. So this Rolodex, it was like a list of people, and it was like your business card. Essentially, you put their business card in the Rolodex, and it was like your contact list. And before I graduated from my undergrad, which was in human services and counseling, we were required, actually, to go sit and meet with people on certain, like, spokes. Like who, if somebody showed up in your office and didn't know where to get a meal, who would you call or who would you connect them to? Not that you're the one, right? I'm not the one that has to feed you. I might choose to, but I'm not the one. But who can I connect you to? So a part of our assignment with this one class before graduation was we had to go out and have like meetings and interviews with the people that would fill that up. So their intention was that when we graduated, we would have essentially like a starter set of contacts for things like I need clothes, I need diapers, I need food, I need money, what do I need to just meet that very basic bottom line of Maslow? And you know what? It was awesome. And I brought that with me as I grew. And even though my kind of focus with early childhood kind of evolved and changed through years, one of the things that I take great pride in is knowing how to be able to do that for people. So I've made peace with the fact that I personally, Lisa Murphy, might not be able to keep the lights on or to keep daddy from screaming or to keep this from or whatever. I might not be the one who's able to do it, but I can link you to the person who has that resources. And I see that early childhood education as a profession is almost evolving into a more social service capacity as perhaps we've been not allowed. That's not the right word, but it's. I think our job description is a little bit broader than anybody really painted for us before. It was like, oh wow, you like kids and you want to hang out. This is awesome. And then, oh shit, oh my God, oh wow, he's been in the same clothes for 4 days. Oh my God, you know, his nose has been running for a month and a half. You know, and I think it's up to us to either be aligned with a system that allows us to connect whoever needs to know who in the community might assist with that, or we need to take it upon ourselves if, in fact, we're aligned with a business or whatever, or an organization that doesn't see that as a priority or whatever. But, you know, I think our job is so much bigger than any of us who ever signed up. I mean, the very first day that I showed up and taught, quote unquote, I got threw up on. You know, and instantly I realized that this was not just going to be about, you know, finger painting. There's a lot more depth.
A little bit more to it.
And a little bit more to it, right? And I know we say that, and I know we realize that. And how am I empowering myself to be that person if, in fact, somebody who shows up needs that? It doesn't mean I'm making any assumptions that the people who show up, you know, in my program need that. It's just like how we say that as the facilitators of an experience, I want you to be able to link the science word and the math word and the concept language. I expect that should it be organically appropriate, you can say, you are right. You are noticing a chemical reaction and it is awesome. I want you to be able to plop that language into it if you see that kid needs it. I also just want you to be able to go, that was fucking awesome, right? So I want you to have the ability to do it, but you're not always having to lead with it, right? So I don't know.
And we don't need to say that's fucking awesome to the four-year-olds probably in most situations.
No. They don't tell you it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
You should say,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
Right, it's awesome.
And so
you would not
on the whole Maslow thing and all the stuff you just talked about, social service, 16 years I worked for the program I ran was with a big social service agency, and we dealt with a lot of that stuff. And while I didn't have a Rolodex, I did have those numbers to call. And think it just I got to ask, though, in your Rolodex, if somebody got a hold of you and said that there was something strange in the neighborhood, or that something weird and it didn't look good, or that you're seeing things running through your head, or there's an invisible man sleeping in your bed, who would you call?
Well, it depended on my Rolodex at that time. If a parent, are you setting me up for some kind of a joke, or are you asking me seriously? If a parent walked in,
I'm saying if there's something strange in your neighborhood, who are you going to call? If it's something weird, if it's something weird that don't look
911.
Good,
911.
If it's something weird that don't
look good initially, if you are listening to us right now and you look out your window tonight and you're like, holy fuck, that looks a little weird, you're going to call 911 and you're going to say, hey, you know what? I'm seeing something that doesn't really look right. And they're going to ask you questions, and then they're the one that's going to triage whether or not, you know, the response to that. 911 is always your first default. I mean, seriously. Second of all, like if it's like, you know, in the morning time and you walk into me and you say, hey, I saw something last night, and I don't know, then I'm going to be like, again, now I'm going to triage, and, you know, in the order of like, okay, are you safe? I am safe. Did you feel unsafe? No, I felt okay, but I noticed something over there. Okay, well, did you call 911? No, I chose not to. Are you concerned that it might happen again? Yes. Okay, so you know what? Right here with me, I'll stand here. You put on speakerphone, and let's call and do. It's like a duly noted. It's like an accountability. It's a documentation. Nothing might ever come of it. Okay, so my neighbor called me, right, and said, hey, you know, I know you're out of town, and I see that there is a bunch of people in front of your house. And I'm like, did you call 911? He's like, I did, but now I'm calling you. Like, I triage, right? I called the authorities first. Now I'm letting you know, right? And you know, you call somebody. But but I'm not sure. I'm thinking that maybe perhaps you're asking a different question.
Okay, somebody listening got this, and then you did the 911 thing, and they're peeing themselves laughing. I'm going to read this again. If there's something strange in your neighborhood, who are you going to call? And here's the word I left out.
Oh, Ghostbusters.
If there's something weird and it don't look good, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters.
Okay, so for everybody listening, that's called Lisa Murphy overshooting the mark.
No, it's called.
That's like when the lady 100 years ago, and I kid you not, this is the second workshop I ever did, and Sharon Kroll was in my audience. Okay, so it's the second workshop you've ever done in your life, and this nationally known early childhood educator.
We got to interview Sharon sometime, by the way. We got to have to get her on
Holy
the list.
Holy crap. Everybody thinks she's my mom. In fact, my hashtag with Sharon is she is not my mother. But that's a story for another day. Everybody thinks she's my mom, but she's not. Anyway, so this lady gets up and she starts asking this question about her Play-Doh, and it's always sticky. And I'm like, oh my God. And Tom stood up and he goes, turn the heat down. And she went, oh, and she wrote it down. And meanwhile, I'm like getting off on this philosophical tangent about Play-Doh and what do you mean it's sticking and all that. And yeah, I can be very guilty of overthinking and overshooting the mark.
And I can be an ass because
sometimes you just have to turn the heat down.
When you started talking about the Rolodex and talking about if somebody comes in and they're hungry, who are you going to call? And then I grabbed the iPad and I had to look up Ghostbuster lyrics while you were talking because I'm such an ass.
You're an ass. You're an ass. That's why you did it.
So one of the questions we can ask in 2016 is who are you going to call? I mean, seriously, when people are in our programs and we see something going on, whether it's a kid that's seeming like they're hungry when they're coming into the program all the time, or whether you're getting that spidey sense tingling that there's something going on, have those numbers available, like Lisa's been talking about. Who are you going to call? But the other big question for 2016 is, what do you mean by that? And that's a question we can ask other people when we see them post things online, when we're having conversations with them. But I think it's also a question that we need to routinely ask ourselves, because a lot of times we get into this self-talk and way of doing things that we don't question. And the what do you mean by that question can kind of stir us up a little bit.
It helps us reflect instead of react.
Yeah, and a reflective 2016 would be a good 2016, huh?
I agree. What do
you mean by that? Well, I just mean, you know, if we were a little bit more thoughtful, maybe we'd make better choices. That's what I mean.
One time a lady asked me at a workshop she said, does the carpet on the floor bother you? And I had just been exposed to the concept of reflecting and not reacting, right?
Uh-huh.
Which sounds kind of cheeseball, but it's really actually, if you really spend some time thinking about it, it's pretty awesome. My initial response was like, fuck no. But then I was like, maybe she's asking a bigger question, right? So, you know, so I'm wondering, what is it about on the floor that you think might bother me? And she's like, well, it's such a distracting pattern. And so then from that, I was able to extrapolate and be like, so I'm wondering if there's anything else in the room that would be distracting. I was actually doing a workshop on presenting technique.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't really early childhood people. It was like, you know, other presenters in the room. So we were able to take a very specific question and you know, bring it broader to then meet the needs of everybody in the room. But because I had just heard the concept of reflecting versus reacting, you know what I'm saying? Like we take our own advice. If you're new to the show, you need to know that one of the reasons, and I've said this 1,000 times and I will continue to say it because it is 100% true. One of the reasons that Jeff and I are able to talk to you like this in your, what do you call it? Your ear holes.
Ear holes.
Which I think is a hilarious word. Is because we hold ourselves accountable to that same level. And we fall prey to it in the sense that there's days that I'll call him and he's like, dude, don't you talk about this in your gig? And you're like, yeah. But it's like, you know, we all fall down a little bit and then we get back up again. But at the end of the day, we hold ourselves accountable to the same advice that we're throwing out. Not even advice. We don't throw out advice. Of the conversations or the sound bites or the challenges, we hold ourselves true and accountable to the same stuff that we throw out there to you, which is why we're able to say it, I think, with such confidence and with such strength and such conviction, because I would never ask anybody to do anything that I don't ask of myself. And that means that I acknowledge that for you, there's hard days, and for me and for Jeff and for Tasha and for everybody, there's hard days. And when we pull ourselves back up again, we still are working towards that goal. And I know it can happen.
So okay, there.
Say something or we're going to think that.
I think I left.
Is that trap door she talked about a couple weeks ago? Yep, that was trap. Hello.
Jeff, well, you know what? It's
Doc Collar.
This has been a 45-minute episode, so I think it's probably about time we wrap it up.
This was the Lisa Murphy monologue. I've actually been sitting here on the counter because I'm hostage to the charger.
She hasn't been able to move.
Dude, we started this episode at 10 after, and it is now quarter till. So
I know.
If you're new, I don't usually talk this much in the podcast.
And we had some Ghostbuster talk, some Rolodex talk. Lisa Murphy talked about her pie for 5 or 10 minutes, which
I said nothing about my pie.
You were talking about your pie for a long time, and I was a 12-year-old. Well, you were talking about your pie, trying not to laugh. I was laughing. We got to wrap this up. Hey, people, thanks for listening. We'll be back sometime with a probably shorter episode. Enjoy your day. And keep asking, what do you mean by that? And if we raise that question in your head with this episode, get a hold of us and we'll come up with an answer. Bye-bye. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Having a hard time sleeping? Off your feed? Feeling blah, blasé, down? Maybe you need more Lisa Murphy in your life. Check out ooeygooey.com and hunt her down on Twitter and Instagram. It'll make your life better.
One, two, three.
Hey, we're starting a revolution. A play revolution. A playvolution. Get it? Come on over and check it out at www.myplayvolution.com. It's an online community for parents and early learning professionals who want to chat and share information and talk and educate themselves and educate others about what's going on in the early learning profession. Let's face it, Facebook and Pinterest and Twitter aren't as warm and cuddly as we might like them to be. This is your community, a place you're going to help create. Come on over. Don't be afraid. Check it out. Jump in. Support the community. Be the community. We need you. Got it? See you there.
Thanks for listening to the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. If you like the show, check out our other offerings, Shots, Lisa's Book Report, and Tom Copeland's Taking Care of Business. And we'd love it if you shared them with friends, left a comment at myplayvolution.com, and gave them 5 stars on iTunes. Thanks. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.